Okay, we're having a special class on the break. We're all going off the break. That means our last class technically is tonight. We have a voluntary class tomorrow morning. And then, guys, you're on your own. So I want us to discuss a little bit about what happens during break. Some of you are flying out all over the world. And then we hope we'll see you back here. If not, next semester, next year, whenever we'll see you. So I want us to take a minute and think about where we are, where we're going. And before I speak about the future, I want us to look to the past for a minute. And I think it's very important that you take a minute now to think and define for yourself what you've accomplished in your time at Machon Meir. Very often we spend time and we don't realize that we've grown. And if a person doesn't tell himself, hey, my davening is much better. Hey, I never connected to this concept of God gave us a Torah, and now I do. Oh, I never realized that the rabbis gave us definitions of mitzvot, and there's this tradition going back for 3,000 years. Now I'm starting to appreciate that. When you start defining what you've accomplished and where you've grown, very often that allows you to hold on to what you've accomplished. If you just swim through Machon Meir and time goes by, and yeah, it's been nice and I got something out and said it's interesting and whatever, then very often that lack of definition leaves us with unrecognized and sometimes unrealized successes. It's important to stop and think, where have I grown? What have I accomplished? Am I more comfortable praying? Am I more comfortable with the concepts of Judaism? Am I more comfortable with the values of Judaism? Where have I grown on all fronts, not just what do I know more? Growth is not only about knowledge. Growth is also about where am I emotionally, spiritually? Where's my comfort level? So that's step one. A person has to think about where they've grown. Step two is, I can tell you I have a letter I wrote to myself. About 20 years ago. I was leaving yeshiva in Israel at that time. And I wrote myself a letter in which I said to myself, your weaknesses are. And I spoke to myself. I wrote myself a letter saying, I know your challenge is going to be A and B and C and D. And you're going to be tempted to adopt a philosophy of A and B and C and D. You're going to be tempted, I wrote myself, to give yourself so much slack in areas that, and then I wrote to myself, and you know your responsibility to live up to. So I defined for myself my weaknesses, I defined for myself my goals, and I wrote this letter and I would review it periodically every 2 or 3 months because it helped me focus, where do I want to go? Where don't I want to go? I think a student here once told me that the way he was able to make it back was that he drew himself red lines. He said he made his red lines very low. He said he was going off to college. I don't remember who this student was. In all honesty, I heard the story a few years ago and it struck me. He said he was going to a college and he drew himself one red line. He said, I will not date a non-Jewish woman. He said, I know I have to marry a Jewish woman. He said, I knew I wanted to draw myself a red line. I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to pray 3 times a day. He said, when I was in the Machon, of course I was praying 3 times a day. Of course I was praying with a minyan. But I knew I had to make the red line really low and tell myself I'm not crossing that red line. Now, that's a very smart thing. He told me when I started approaching the red line, and I knew that it was starting to be a challenge to hold myself above that red line, that's when I realized I have to get out of here. And I came back to Israel. He said, when I realized that I'm about to lose those red lines, that's when I said, okay, then I'm losing it. It's all or nothing at this point. Now, where you draw your red lines, I can't tell you. I don't think two people's red lines are going to be the same. But I think that's a very smart thing. I think, though, that you have to draw a blue line and a red line. Mm-hmm. There has to be a minimum. Where don't I go beneath? But there also has to be a place, where do I want to get to? What are my goals? Machon Meir is the starting point, it's not the end point. You don't finish here. You get the tools to start. our goal. That's why we're not called Yeshiva Meir, we're called Machon Meir. We're an institution. We're here to give you tools to start working. This isn't where you end. This is where you begin. You have to decide, where do you want to grow from here? But you have to grow from here. This is the starting point. So for those of you who are embarking, this isn't just a break of 3 weeks. This is, I'm going off. Well, we wish you luck. And I would like to discuss some tools that you can take with you. And give me just one second. What are the tools that will help us grow? Tool number one, who are your friends? Who are your friends? You have to ask yourself that question, because at the end of the day, our friends define who we end up being. And I would point out point number two, who are the girls you're going to be around? If you're not going to be around girls right now, okay, if you're going to start dating, so who's going to set you up with the right type of girl? But ask yourself, who do you want to marry? If you're going off to college and you're going to be in a place where there are no Jewish girls, well, how are you gonna get married to a Jewish girl? I'm gonna hold off another 4 years. Is that realistic, or do you have to participate in NCSY events, Gesher events, Hillel events? Let's be realistic. So, first question is, who are your friends? And by friends, I don't mean that Facebook thing called friends. It's not fair they use that. They should call them associates. They should call them acquaintances. I get friend requests from all kinds of interesting people. I'm your friend? I don't know who you are. People sometimes send me a friend request. I don't know who they are. That's a friend? Okay? But who are your friends? I have Facebook, yes, and if you're not yet my friend, you should be. not that I recommend you get on Facebook, but because so many students are there, so I'm there. So ask yourself, who are your friends? Ask yourself, where do you want to go and how are you going to get there? And one of the tools is a chavruta. Chavruta doesn't have to be only in yeshiva. You know, we ended the zman, the yeshiva I learn in the morning. We ended our learning. Chavruta is a study partner. So one of the things that was very important for me to accomplish today was I grabbed my study partner, my chavruta, and I said to him, when are we learning every day during the break? And he said to me, I live an hour's bus ride from you. And I said, we'll learn by phone. But I want us to set a time that we're learning every day during the break. Well, I'm going to let the time go by. We won't learn. We need a break. Fine, we'll take a break during the day. I'll be with my kids, whatever, at night. I preempted it. I sat with my wife last night and I asked her, what time in our schedule can I dedicate to learn with my chavruta, with my study partner? So every night I have a chavruta set up. I think it's very important that you have a rabbi you connect to. It can be your rabbi back home. It could be your rabbi from NCSY. It could be your rabbi at Machon Meir. It could be your rabbi at Shul. Connect to someone. There has to be someone in your life that you feel you look up to. You feel that they value you. And that together you can grow. So we've discussed so far friends. Chavruta. And rabbi. We've discussed study partner. Red lines and blue lines. What's my minimum? What's my maximum? I recommend setting a slow goal. Set yourself a very low and attainable goal. Tell yourself, okay, my goal, for one person, his low goal is going to be, I'm going to put on tefillin every day. I'm going to put on phylacteries every day. I'm going to put on tefillin, say Shema and Shmona Esrei. For another person, his goal is going to be, I'm going to daven shachris with a minyan every day. For a third person, his low goal is, I'm going to make it to shul every day. For a fourth person, his low goal is, I'm going to make it to shul once a week. Whatever you're holding, no one can tell you what. Make yourself an attainable goal and try to get it. It might be, I'll review what I studied this semester. It might be, I'm going to work on covering a book in Tanakh. Give yourself an easy goal, but accomplish it. Make it easy, but accomplish. Now in life, there's a rule. Sounds simple, but we usually mess up on this rule. There's a very simple, basic rule that we don't apply in our lives, and that's why we fail. And the rule goes as follows. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. Okay, sounds simple, right? But how many times, let's ask yourself, what do you want to accomplish at Machon Meir? What are your goals? You came here. What did you want to accomplish? You just spent a month here, 2 months here, a week here, 4 weeks here, whatever time you spend here. You came tonight to class. Did you have any goals? If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. It's a very important rule. It's a rule in time management. What's the first rule of time management? Take out a piece of paper and write down what you want to accomplish. You have 5 minutes, you have an hour, you have 5 hours, you have a day. Take out a piece of paper and write down what you want to accomplish. Now that's why what we just discussed tonight has to go in writing. I wrote myself a letter when I was leaving yeshiva 20 years ago. What are my goals? Where do I want to go? Okay, now I think a person should also define for themselves their weaknesses. If a person knows they have a weakness with the internet, then they should get a filter. Person shouldn't say, yeah, I shouldn't, and I just clicked on that. I didn't know where it would take me, and we have all the excuses in the book. Get a filter. If a person knows they have certain weaknesses, if there's a girl from their past that's a weakness, so take her off your Facebook friends. I'm saying, part of the wisdom in life is recognizing where our weaknesses are and saying, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ensure that doesn't happen. A person says, the key is always nipping it at the bud, taking it a step earlier. And finally, the key is also getting into an environment that will help us grow. I always tell guys, you're going to your parents, you're going to Chutz Laretz, you're going to university, I don't know where you're going, I want you to go to shul. Now, I want you to go to shul, not because of the davening in shul, even though that's important, but because when you go to shul, you've disconnected from the filth of the world that you've been busy with all day. I hope that it's not, but reality is, you come home, there's a TV running, there's the internet running, there's a whole world out there that grabs you. You walk into shul, you're in a different environment. You've walked into a different world, you're on a different planet. Yeah. So a person has to try and find those oases. I was in the airport last week, and on the intercom came on a call, and it said, we have a worship room. Everyone can come and worship. Different faiths have prayer services at different times, but everyone's welcome to come into the worship room. So I said to myself, I'd love to go to the worship room. I'm standing, you stand in an airport, what do you see all around you? They're trying to sell you duty free, right? You have advertisements, blaring lights. It's a, you're in a world of, I don't know what to call it. It's a materialistic, hedonistic world, everyone around you, especially in the summer. My first thought was, where? Then I thought, you know, where's that worship room? And then I thought to myself, I can't worship in a room where there's idol worship going on and stuff like that. I can't worship there. And I don't have that option. But it was a wake-up call to me. I said to myself, I got 30 minutes till they board the plane, and I hadn't realized they hadn't done mincha yet. So I said, thanks for the reminder, right? I went and found the corner and I went and davened mincha. But you live in a world where you have to take a step back, hit the reset button, remind ourselves what our values are, and part of doing that is finding the oasis. Where can I go to do that? And I want to end with a few simple points which are also very difficult. The first point, which is perhaps the hardest point in our generation, is do not beat up on yourself. Our generation tends to be very hard on ourselves. And it's a very self-destructive approach. We look at ourselves and we say, anything we do right, we have reasons why it's not good enough. If we prayed, then we weren't fully focused. Then we should have prayed more often. If we gave charity, then maybe I should have given more, maybe I should have given to a different place, maybe I should have divided it. There's almost nothing we do right that we walk around and say, I'm great. And it wouldn't hurt. On the contrary, it would be really good if we could look at ourselves positively. It's one of the greatest failings of our generation, our inability to be comfortable with ourselves. And especially when we go into the break, we shouldn't be so harsh on ourselves. So yeah, I'm telling you right now, you're going to look at the break and you're going to say to yourself, I thought I was at a different place. I thought I was at a higher level. And now during the break, I didn't live up to all my expectations. Okay, that's part of growth. Yes, in real life, Adam eats from the forbidden fruit. Yeah, I'm not saying you should eat from the forbidden fruit. I'm not saying that's where you should go. But I'm saying the question is, after a person looks back and says, I'm not so happy I did that, well, then what's the next step? Is the next step, oh, I'm a terrible person, oh, everything I've accomplished is fake, oh, this is I really haven't grown anywhere? Or is the next step, okay, I fell, I have to get back up. Sheva yipol tzadik vakam. David HaMelech tells us, the tzadik, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, the tzadik falls many, many times. The number Sheva, 7 in Tanakh, is a number that connotes many times. The key is to keep getting up. There's no such thing as people who don't fall. Everyone falls. A tzaddik is a person who falls. But a tzaddik, a righteous person, is one who keeps getting up from falling. We have to keep getting up. You know, there was a guy who was... I'll tell you the full story, even though it's pretty tragic. So, where do we begin? His story, it's really sad. Okay, I don't know where to start. His issue number one was that he was very interested in a girl who was married. And then... he invited her to his place, and you can imagine what ended up happening. And then he caused her husband to die and married her. And he wanted to do tshuva. And then he questioned whether he should be Jewish altogether. And he wanted to do tshuva. And his name is David HaMelech. Okay? The great lesson we learn from David is the ability to overcome weakness. The great lesson that David teaches us is that even though David falls, so Bathsheba's a married woman, and he causes her husband to die and marries her, and he's intimate with her when her husband is still alive. But the Davidic dynasty, Shlomo HaMelech, comes from Bathsheba. And God says, I will name the son you had from Bathsheba, Yedidiah, the friend of God. Why? David had other wives. David was able to fix what he did wrong. The greatness that David teaches us is the ability of man to fix what they did wrong. It's not that David was not perfect. David had his areas where he had to fix them, but you know what? We say about the patriarchs in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, Magen, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and later on, when we read the after, we say Magen David. So David made it almost to be one of the patriarchs. Not because he was perfect, but rather because he was willing to face up to what he did wrong and not give up on himself. And say, I'm not giving up. I did wrong. I'm going to make it better. So, I didn't mention that he caused his daughter to be violated. I didn't mention that he caused his son to be killed. I didn't mention that he caused his baby to be killed. I didn't mention his 10 concubines who were violated and it was his fault. I didn't mention so many things that David ate himself up alive for. I didn't mention that he caused the whole city of Nov to be annihilated and the priests to be killed there as well. There were quite a few things that David had to do tshuva over. So why do we speak about David as being so great? His greatness was his willingness to stand up and say, I did wrong, I'm going to fix it. I'm not giving up. That's the greatness of David. David represents eternity. That's why David is connected to Jerusalem. We speak about Jerusalem's destruction, but we always speak about how we're coming back. David gives us the capacity to look our failures in the eye and say, I'm going to overcome this. I'm not done yet. I've fallen, but I'm getting back up again. And that's a key point when we speak about our break. A person should never give up on themselves. And in our generation, that's a hardship we have. We're very tough on ourselves, unduly tough on ourselves. And when we're happy, it's when we avoid ourselves. It's not when we look at ourselves and say, good, I did good today, I'm a good person. People find happiness in avoiding themselves and watching a good movie, in drinking a good alcoholic beverage. That's not happiness. That's avoiding life. That's not living life. Torah gives us the ability to say, I'm leading a productive life. I'm happy. It's good. I can see the good in me. I can see the good in what I've accomplished. And so, as we approach the break, we should set our goals. We should set our aspirations. We should recognize our weaknesses and curtail them. You know you have certain weaknesses. See how to ensure they don't come to haunt you. And yet, we should also see the good. We should see what we've accomplished in this time. We should see what's good and what's right about us. We should connect to a rabbi. We should connect to positive friends. We should connect to a good environment. And we shouldn't be too harsh on ourselves. And if we fall in, we have to remember our responsibility to get back up and continue working. Tov.